This Bible Talk on Psalm 103 was recorded for the 5th of April 2020 during the coronavirus shutdown. Friends, this morning, remember that God forgets.
This morning's Bible reading comes from Psalm 103 of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness, his justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Gracious and glorious God, we thank you that you remember our sins no more. That as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love for us. As far as east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. We pray now that as we hear your word, that we might be reminded of the things that you have forgotten, and that we might remember all the things that you have done for us. Please now, would you help me to speak in a way that is clear and interesting and faithful to all those who listen, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to remember that God forgets, but we forget that God no longer remembers. God chooses to forget, and that's what we need to remember. But imagine not being able to forget. Imagine not being able to forget your past. It's Australia's famous painting. It's called Blue Poles, and it's on loan to the London Royal Academy of the Arts. It's an abstract, impressionist work by Jackson Pollock. It was bought by the Whitlam government in 1973. Australia still owns it, by the way. We bought it for a bargain, $1.3 million. Now it's valued in the hundreds of millions. Maybe you remember seeing it. Personally, I don't see its appeal. I reckon it looks like a Rosella sprayed across the blank canvas of a car's windscreen at 110 kilometres per hour. I mean, it's impressionist art, right? Well, that's the impression I get. Or should I say, the impression left behind by the bird. The painter's original owner, Ben Heller, wants to remember. Ben never wants to forget the beauty of this painting. On loan to the New York Modern Museum of Art in 1998, Ben Heller went to London to visit the painting. Now quite frail and well into his 90s, Ben has travelled from the United States to the United Kingdom. He went to view his painting again, the artwork that he once owned. The picture that hung proudly in his family home now the major display piece in the London Art Gallery. Blue Poles is the picture that Ben wants to remember. This is the image that Ben never wants to forget. Seeing the painting again, it evoked mixed emotions for him. "It will be my last viewing of the painting," he said. "I'm thrilled to look at it, thrilled by the look of it. It's just terrific. I could just stare at it forever." Ben doesn't want to forget it. Ben wants to remember. But Psalm 103 is the picture that I want you to remember. And it's worth viewing every chance that you get. Psalm 103 is a picture that you don't want to forget. But we do forget, don't we? We forget that God has forgotten our past. We forget that God forgets. We forget that life is short. We forget our place in the world. We forget what God wants us to remember. These are the things that we forget. We forget what's important. We forget who's important. We forget what matters. With so much for us to remember, is it any wonder that we so easily forget? We forget our passwords. We forget our PIN numbers. We forget our phone numbers. We forget our tax file number. We forget our credit card numbers. We forget our keys and our wallet, birthdays, anniversaries, and appointments. We forget our manners. But we remember our sins. We remember our past. We remember our failings and our failures. We remember our guilt and our shame. We forget to remember that God forgets. We forget life is temporary. We say it's short, but we live like it's forever. But Psalm 103 wants us to remember. Psalm 103 doesn't want us to forget. It's a deeply moving psalm. It's a psalm that stirs our emotions because it's a psalm that wants us to remember that God forgets our past. It's a psalm that we should never forget. And it begins by telling us that it's a psalm of David and that David should praise God. See that with me, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." David, who wrote Psalm 103, has a past. David, you'll remember, has a checkered past. You might remember David's past. It's a past that he would like to forget. David's made mistakes. Maybe you remember them. The bathing beauty of Bathsheba. David screwed up royal. David the king. David the shepherd, David the deliverer, is also David the deceiver, David the adulterer, David the murderer. Yet despite his inner turmoil, despite the sins of his own heart, David calls on his heart to praise God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Not just with his lips, not just mouthing the words to the song, not just going through the motions like we can so easily do with our inner life, not just showing up once a week or once in a while. David calls upon his soul to turn up, all of his inmost being. Nothing is to be pushed to the side. All that is within him, nothing to be suppressed or ignored. David, everything in his life is surrendered to God. Offered up to him in praise. No longer given over to self, David gives everything over in submission. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It takes the posture of a bended knee. It takes the role of service and servanthood. It's the outpouring of our deepest gratitude, the overflow of our inner thankfulness. Psalm 103. But we're not the recipients of blessing in this psalm. We're the givers of blessing, and the blessing is towards God. As God blesses humanity, so we bless God in our submission to him. David wants to bless the Lord, and he can't thank God enough. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," because his heart has found 10,000 reasons to do it. David wants to forget all that he's done, but he doesn't want to forget. all that God's done for him. David wants to remember all of God's benefits. Maybe you've forgotten them. Let's see them in verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God forgives all our sins. God forgives all of our diseases. And while that word diseases just jumped out and grabbed your attention, Psalm 103 is a psalm that repeats itself for emphasis. It uses repetition for the sake of impact. It says the same thing, but in a different way, like the way I did just then. We want God to end the coronavirus. Of course, we're praying that this global suffering will soon end, but Psalm 103 is where God's doing a bigger renovation work in us. More than slowing the spread and flattening the curve, God's healing goes deeper than that within us. It's reconstructive, open-heart surgery. See with me now in the psalm. He redeems our lives. He crowns us with love and mercy. He satisfies our desires. I mean, the promise of renewed youthful energy is worth the price of admission alone this morning, isn't it? But what's the deal with eagles? Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 tells us, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples." Exodus 19, verse 3. It's another picture, isn't it? The picture of salvation. A picture of what God has done for Israel. A portrait of who his people are to be. God's people are his treasured possessions. Out of all of the nations on the earth, God chose them to be his. Psalm 103 is a gallery of pictures worth remembering. God redeems his people. He crowns them with love and mercy. He makes himself known to them. And on that same mountain, God reveals himself to Moses. Exodus 34, verse 5. See it with me. The Lord passed before him. He proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is how God revealed himself to Moses. How God is towards his people. Israel was slaves in Egypt, but God remembered his promises to them. You see, God isn't like one of us. He doesn't operate on our merit. He doesn't secure his line of credit first. He doesn't treat us like other people do. He doesn't treat us the way that we treat others. God doesn't get all flustered and frustrated. He's slow to anger. He's not all warm and fussy only when he wants something from us. He's abounding in his love. His love towards us is boundless. No restrictions, no limitations, no borders, no boundaries. He doesn't accuse us, doesn't blame us, doesn't point the finger, doesn't hold a grudge, doesn't seek revenge. Just look at these incredible pictures. Look at the contour of his incredible masterpiece. See the creativity of our master craftsman. Verse 11, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." As high as far as a father has, so great is his love. So far has he removed our transgressions, so has he shown his compassion towards us. His love for us, friends, is off the canvas. What emotions do these pictures stir within you? As you look at them this morning, how do they make you feel? Oh, you could spend a lifetime considering them, contemplating these images forever, couldn't you? I wish that some of you would. Look at them more often. Move in a little bit closer. Reconsider it all from another standpoint. These are the pictures that you don't want to forget. These are the images you need to remember, especially when you feel abandoned, when you're feeling ashamed, when you feel the sting of accusation in the loneliness of self-isolation, as if God's patience might have run out on you or he couldn't possibly love you anymore. You're right, you know. God couldn't possibly love you anymore. The Lord is abounding in his love, boundless, immeasurable, without limitation. So great is his love for us, says David, that the best we can do here is put words into pictures. Because words alone, they can't contain the fullness of his love. Problem is, though, that some of you listening are literalists, have no real appreciation for the arts at all. We get out the calculator and the telescope and the microscope. In an age of science and reason, we become unreasonable skeptics. The galaxy's outer limit reaches at 10 million light years. The heavens calculated to be that high above the earth. Is that the extent of God's love for us? 10 million light years? The circumference of the world at its equator is 40,075 kilometers. Is that how far God removes my transgressions from me? East runs into west eventually, only if it ever becomes east again. That's how some of us think, isn't it? How we think about God. God kept within our confines, contained by the limitations of our own imagination. Why do we feel the need to measure God's limitations when we do much better remembering our own? See it with me, verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. The Lord remembers that we're dust. He remembers how we were made. He remembers because he was there. He's like a father. Remember? He was there from the very beginning and he remembers that we'll be remembered no more. But that's what we forget, isn't it? We forget that we're dust. How's that for bringing you back down to earth? How's that for being grounded again in reality? Here today, gone tomorrow, flourishing, forgotten, and then remembered no more. Blown over, then blown away, perishable and perishing until we perish. We're mortal. But God is immortal. God isn't like us. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Try measuring that if you can. See if you can find the expiry date on that label. We forget our place in the world, and it's easy to forget, isn't it? The Lord, who has established his eternal throne, rules over all of his creation. The whole of the earth is his kingdom. You see, we forget who we are. We forget who God is. We forget the things that God wants us to remember, but we remember the things that God has forgotten. And so the psalm ends where it starts. But it's not just from an earthly perspective this time. All of creation now stands in the frame. Look there, verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works. In all places of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. The angels and the hosts of heaven, they obey his word. His servants, they do his will. All things, everywhere, all his works in all of his creation. And that's where we fit in too, isn't it? All of his works in all of creation. Here now is the central display piece in the gallery of Scripture. And I want you to see it again with me. Where God redeems our lives from the pit. God's abounding in his love for us. God removing all of our transgressions and forgiving all of our iniquities, crowning, satisfying and renewing us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 says this. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here, God no longer accuses us. God no longer harbours his anger against us. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't look to repay our wrongdoings. Jesus has paid for it all. He buys our broken brushstrokes and takes our mess and recreates us into a masterpiece. God made him to be our sin. His righteousness becomes ours. Jesus crowned in his crucifixion so that we could be crowned with his love. The revelation of his everlasting love now displayed in the reconciliation of his world. God makes us new in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Jesus bears us. And he brings us to himself, not just renewed. Friends, we are made new. We are his most prized possession. The display of his blessings to all of his creation. God no longer counting our sins against us. Tell me, why do you still keep score? No matter how hard the wind blows, the old has now passed away. The new has come. We are a new creation in Christ. But that's what we forget, isn't it? God chooses to forget. And that's what he wants us to remember. And so now, in this time of contemplation, in a season, and it's only a season, a season of isolation and stillness, will you stand a little closer? Will you come and take another look? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Let's pray. All that is within us praises you, our God, for all that you have done, that you have removed our sins, cast them far and wide. You love us with a love that is quite literally out of this world. And while our world aches and moans and we pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy, would you help us to come now and see all that you have done, all that you've done for us, to stand a little closer, to look again at the contours and the fine brushstrokes of your work, how you're changing us, making us new, shaping us to be more like Jesus. And so in these moments, in these days of confinement and containment, would you help our hearts to burst with praise and thankfulness, that all that is within us would overflow with thanks for all that you've done for us. Thank you that you make us new. And thank you that you've not given up on your plans to renew and make all things new in Christ. Somehow, through all of this, we pray that you would use us to help reconcile the world to you in Jesus. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.
Friends, thanks for listening. We hope this talk has encouraged and challenged you in these strange times that we're living in. We'd love your help in spreading the word about these Bible talks. If you're listening in a podcast app, please subscribe and rate and review it. That'll help it to become more visible so that others can find it. You can always just simply tell your friends about it too. Until next time, thanks for being with us.